My head is spinning this morning. The world seems crazy. An incident of police brutality resulting in the death of a black man scrapes open a racial wound that's been festering for hundreds of years too long. Racism and injustice needs to be dealt with. That's certain. Was the response to that over the top? Yes. Riots are never, ever justified. To seek an end to violence with violence is absurd. But the ones oppressed must be heard, and systemic sin, whether it is racism or hate or violence or disregard for human life, and then that list could go on and on, all that systemic sin must be dealt with. The answer is, the world needs Jesus. And a truer statement could not be made. But the reality is, obviously the world's not there yet. In the meantime, the evil must be addressed, and we as Christ followers need to take the lead in going forward in grace as we do. Now, as I considered this talk, and as we made plans to re-engage in on-site worship here at ABC, I actually came up with my title, which is Going Forward in Grace. I came up with that title long before I knew which texts I would use. And that's a practice that is a major no-no for preachers. We have quite a number of preachers here at ABC, and if we had all been together in this room this morning, I'm sure that there would have been a collective gasp as those preachers realized that Pastor Keith admitted to coming up with an idea and then finding scripture to back it up. But I did. And I believe it was the Holy Spirit leading me to do it. And by the end of my talk, I think you're going to agree. Now let me explain. Let me give you a rundown of what I'm going to do here this morning. I'm going to read all of Romans 14. And then I'm going to read an extensive blog post from a fellow pastor, and then make a few follow-up comments, and then we'll be done. But don't get your hopes up. That doesn't mean it's short. It's going to take me a while to say what the Lord is asking me to say this morning. Now, going back 3 months, it was Friday the 13th. Sounds ominous, doesn't it? But yes, it was. It was the morning of Friday, March 13th, 2020, just shy of 3 months ago. And I was at a meeting of the Ashland County Ministerial Association. And as usual, we already had our agenda set, but that agenda was set aside to hear a talk from our Ashland County Health Department director. And her message was grim. COVID-19 was coming. Back then we called it the coronavirus. And she said about this COVID-19 that many Ohioans would be infected and people would die, and that prudent steps needed to be taken. And the church needed to take the lead in that. And I got worried. I spent the rest of the day consulting with our church board about whether or not we should cancel services on the following Sunday, March 15th. And as many other churches were doing that already. Many other churches had already canceled, and I hadn't really thought about it, but now suddenly I was thinking, what do we do? And so I consulted with my board, and it was a unanimous decision. We would cancel 2 Sundays, the Actually, it probably was more like 3 Sundays, and then we would see what we're going to do at the beginning of April. We said that we would re-examine things at the beginning of April, because who would have thunk that we would not have church on Easter? That was unthinkable. But still, it was devastating for me to have to cancel church on a beautiful, beautiful weekend. The weather was perfect that weekend. It wasn't like a snow day where we labor to figure out whether or not we should cancel or not. And sometimes, even sometimes when there's a blizzard blowing on Saturday night and I cancel church on Saturday night because I know it's going to be impossible on Sunday morning because the snow's going to be 6 feet deep out on Mifflin Avenue, I still have a hard decision, and here I'm making the decision to cancel on a perfectly beautiful day because of an invisible virus. And so that night I went home and I sat down at the kitchen table and I wept. I wept. And Kathy was concerned for me. She walked over and she put her arms around my shoulder. She says, "What's wrong?" I just felt hopeless. I didn't see light at the end of the tunnel. Well, fortunately, my joy was somewhat restored when Jason called and he said that we could get Zoom up and running and we could have service. And that's really been a godsend. But who'd have thunk that it would be 3 months until we would open up and have worship in here in this room again. So, jump a couple months hence towards this time, and at our May board meeting, our agenda was mostly for the purpose of deciding when and how we would return to on-site worship here at ABC, because our Zoom worship has been wonderful. We never stopped worshiping. And I love that. And that board meeting wasn't an easy meeting. No, we weren't fighting and glaring each other on our Zoom computer screens. It's just that it was not nearly so easy to open back up as it had been to close. One person wisely said that there was potential schism in how we handled this process. The truth was then, and the truth is now, that we must go forward in grace. Some people think we should never have canceled services. We were running scared from an invisible virus. Some people think we could have come back into this building last month like other churches did around the community. And some people think that next week's date of June 14th reopening is just right. And other people think, what's the big hurry? We don't know what's going to happen with this virus, and we need to be cautious. So we have all kinds of things. We hear all kinds of things, and all of those sentiments were in our board. And so it was wise to think that we could have trouble with just how we came back to worship. And all those thoughts and more were are articulated by this congregation, by this wonderful community called Ashland Brethren in Christ Church. We're family. And just like any family, we have disparate views. And wouldn't it be boring if we all thought the same way? But then we have the potential divisiveness of varying opinions relating to the racial divide in our country and the resulting violence and unrest that we've seen over the last week and a half. And what it does, what that does, is provide a perfect opportunity to look into the Word together and to learn and grow and be more like Jesus, rather than allowing disparate views to divide us. We can have disparate views, different views, but they don't have to divide us. Because when that happens, Satan wins. Instead, ABC, we need to go forward in grace. My friend Andy, who's an attorney in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, posted this on Facebook the other day. He said, "Seems a lot of people expect others to think like them. They try to achieve it by yelling at the ones who don't. How's that going?" End quote. Paul dealt with a similar struggle with the Christ followers in Rome, as he addressed it in Romans 14. So let me read that to you, because the Romans 14 is the basis of actually the remainder of this talk. So listen, Romans 14, starting verse 1, "Accept the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not, and the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does. For God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, and they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, 'Surely as I live, loves the Lord, every knee will bow before me and every tongue will acknowledge God.' So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. I'm convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person it is unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you're no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you know is good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now, I'm going to read another long piece, and it's from a pastor, a Southern Baptist interim pastor, actually. And his name is Lynn Pryor, and he's also a podcast and blogger, and he posted this blog recently, and somebody sent it. I think Lori sent it to me, and it's entitled, When We Disagree Over COVID-19. Pastor Pryor begins this way, and I quote, "Hoo boy, you'd think Christians would be elated to be coming back together after so many weeks of physical distancing and online services. We're coming back together, but we're not happy. Some in our churches think it's just plain stupid to cower in fear, hiding behind masks instead of hiding in the shelter of God's protection. Where's your trust in God, people? Some in our churches think we're being hasty to bring the church family back together when there's still so much risk. Why do you think trusting God means that you can be foolhardy? Some despise the snowflakes," and he has that in quotes, "some despise the snowflakes who are afraid to do anything without first bathing in hand sanitizer. Some judge the callous non-mask wearers who don't care who dies. I don't think there's been this much dissension about meeting together since Sue Ellen Johnson wore that pantsuit to church in 1972, or David Clark brought that pair of drumsticks into the sanctuary in 1987, or, well, come to think of it, we've been fairly consistent in finding fault with the way others have approached life in the church and life as a believer. We can go all the way back to the first century. Jewish Christians struggled with letting go of the old dietary laws and judged the Gentile believers for being, quote, too loose in what they ate. Meanwhile, the Gentiles despised the Jewish believers for being so backward and not joining them in a pulled pork barbecue sandwich. Paul jumped into the fray taking place in the church in Rome, which, by the way, I don't think he had, I'm leaving the blog here. By the way, Rome, the Roman church was a place where Paul had not been yet, and so he's sending this letter to people that he doesn't necessarily know, but he knows that this is going on. Okay, now back to the blog. Paul says in verses 1 through 3, "Welcome anyone who's weak in faith, but don't argue about disputed matters. One person believes that he may eat anything, while one who is weak eats only vegetables. One who eats must not look down on one who does not eat, and one who does not eat must not judge one who does, because God has accepted him." Paul did not rebuke either the carnivores or the vegetarians for what they believed, but he did rebuke them for their attitudes. The, quote, weak group was condemning the other side. The, quote, strong group was despising the other side. Paul also addressed their squabble over the disputed matter of observing certain days as holy. While Paul had a definite opinion on the matters, he didn't argue for his viewpoint. Instead, he said, "Whatever you do, be convinced in your own mind and do it unto Christ." In fact, this is exactly what he says. "Whoever observes the day observes it for the honor of the Lord. Whoever eats it eats for the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. And whoever does not eat, it is for the Lord and he does not eat it. And he gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for himself, and no one dies for himself. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord." That's verses 6 through 8 again. Blog continues. "Whatever we do it to honor Christ, and we do it with a heart of thanks. As Paul said elsewhere, so whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do everything to the glory of God." 1 Corinthians 10:31. Okay, Paul, we get it. We accept one another. But Paul isn't through with us. Just leaving one another alone in our respective views is not enough. We must also work to build the other person up. So we don't just back off. We build the person up. And Pastor Pryor quotes Romans 14, 13, and 15. Therefore, let us no longer judge one another. Instead, decide never to put a stumbling block or pitfall in the way of your brother or sister. For if your brother or sister is hurt by what you eat, you're no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy by what you eat someone for whom Christ died. The world's way is to tell the other person to grow up and get over it. But the law of love says to stop what you're doing for the sake of the other person, even if your viewpoint is right. We face something far more important than being right. The most important thing is to act with love. Therefore, do not let your good be slandered by the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's verses 16 and 17. Pastor Pryor says, let me put this in the context of the debate the church is having over COVID-19. The kingdom of God is not a matter of face masks, distancing, and hand sanitizer, but living in the righteous peace and joy found in the Holy Spirit. Incidentally, Paul kept referring to the weaker brother or sister. In the debate raging about how to come back to church, who is the weaker person? With whatever issue we face, it's always the other person, right? Okay, so let's assume that. According to COVID-19, you're right and you are the more mature believer. As the, quote, stronger person, your responsibility is not to put a stumbling block in the path of someone else. Don't judge the other person. Build him up. Don't despise the other person. Build her up. We're going to get past this COVID-19. And when this is all past us, what will matter is how we loved and treated each other. And that's the end of Pastor Pryor's really powerful blog. And I say, amen, amen. What matters in the end is how we loved and treated each other. That's what's going to come out of this. I've heard derisive comments about the person driving in their car wearing a mask. People laughingly talking about how dumb that looked. I've seen condemning Facebook posts about the number of people who had the audacity to walk into Drug Mart or Walmart or Bueller's and they didn't deign to wear a mask. Or worse yet, they took their kids along. And the thing is, you don't know why they took their kids along. Maybe it's because they had no one to take care of their kids, but they had to get groceries and food to feed those kids. The fiery darts fly back and forth from both sides. And the same is with the discussion about the George Floyd controversy, the man who died because a policeman basically smothered him to death with his knee on his neck. And the point is, there needs to be conversation rather than condemnation. There needs to be conversation rather than condemnation. Let me give us some takeaways, and I'm going to use it by reading sections of Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of Romans 14. Going forward in grace means we must, and the message says, welcome with open arms fellow believers who don't see things the way you do. And don't jump all over them every time they do or say something you don't agree with. Even when it seems they are strong on opinions but weak in the faith department. Remember, they have their own history to deal with. Treat them gently. That's verses 1 through 3 from the message. And never forget that maybe you are the one who's in the weak faith department, okay? Maybe, you know, we think that the other person's weak, but maybe we're the weak one. Going forward in grace means we will take comfort in the fact that if there are corrections to be made or manners to be learned, God can handle that without your help. That's from verse 4, the second half of verse 4 in the Message. And I just say, I don't need to say anything more than that. But let me just say, God can handle it without your help. Going forward in grace means we realize it's God we are answerable to, all the way from life to death and everything in between, not each other. And that's why Jesus lived and died and then lived again, so that he could be our master across the entire range of life and death and free us from the petty tyrannies of each other. That's verses 8 and 9 from the Message. And in other words, we can just love on each other instead of worrying about who's getting right and who's getting wrong. Going forward in grace gives us the simple truth that God's kingdom isn't a matter of what you put in your stomach, for goodness sake. It's what God does with your life as he sets it right, puts it together, and completes it with joy. Your task is to single-mindedly serve Christ. That's verse 17 from the Message. So whether someone wears a mask and you don't, or we ask you to social distance for the time being while you're here at ABC, or if someone forgets to use hand sanitizer, it all comes down to the truth that we must single-mindedly serve Christ first and foremost. And then finally, going forward in grace means we will agree to use all our energy in getting along with each other, helping others with encouraging words. Don't drag them down by finding fault. That's verse 19 from the Message. Now, in my NIV Bible, right across the page here to the left from Romans 14 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Technically, it's the last half of that favorite chapter, which is Romans 12. One of my favorite places in the Bible. And Paul tells us there in Romans 12, in verses 9 and 10, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. And the King James renders verse 10 this way, and I love the language and that's why I'm using it. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. In honor preferring one another. We are coming out of a quarantine. Let's be devoted to one another in love as we emerge. We have various solutions to the racial violence and resulting protests and violence. Let's be devoted to one another in love as we discuss them. And as you discuss them with other people who just really, really don't agree with you, just discuss it. Have a conversation rather than condemnation. And here's the big one that I've not even touched on, and there's absolutely no time left this morning to do it. And it's that we have a presidential election this year, and our nation is more divided than ever. Let's be devoted one to another in love as we walk together. Whether we're Democrats or Republicans or libertarians or nothing at all, let us walk together in love. Let's have conversations rather than condemnation. ABC, be kindly affectioned to one another in brotherly and sisterly love, in honor preferring one another. That, ABC, is going forward in grace. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us. Help us to be kindly affectioned one to another in brotherly and sisterly in love. Help us to honor one another by preferring one another. It's what you did. You died on the cross. You were thinking about us. We bless your name. Amen and amen.